I just feel it's an honour to have those two who have ministered abroad, Dave and Alice, Ray and Mary Ann, to be back with us today. Well done, good and faithful servants. God bless you. And others too. Today is Pentecost Sunday. It commemorates the occasion when God, the Holy Spirit, first came to take residence in the lives of those saved by Jesus Christ. You see, our salvation was planned by the Father. It was purchased by the Son. And it was provided by the Holy Spirit, who makes the Father and the Son real to us. We know not the Father or the Son unless the Spirit takes residence within and shows them to us. So come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Come with your strength and your power. Dwell in your own special way, we pray. Please, will you turn in your Bibles to the prophet Ezekiel. He is somewhat towards the end of the Old Testament. He is after Jeremiah and before Daniel. Ezekiel means my strength is in God, or my strength flows from God, which is quite appropriate actually for this morning, because we're speaking of the river of God. Ezekiel was married when he was 27. He became a widower when he was 35. And he was called of God at the age of 30. He was set apart as a prophet of the Most High God over a period of 20 years, in which he gave 12 distinct statements called oracles of God, messages from God. Each of his 12 prophecies, his oracles, are superseded, both sides of what he said, by visions and maybe real visitations to the throne room of heaven. He saw the glory of God. People, I tell you most sincerely that you cannot speak or sing in a fresh and dynamic way on behalf of God unless you are in his presence. It comes no other way. You can try to capture what other people do. You can imitate. You can put it in a bottle. But at the end of the day, that which is flesh is flesh, and that which is spirit. Amen. And we must have visitations of God, and we must dwell in his presence in order to be his mouthpiece and his speakers. Ezekiel gives each of his 12 prophecies in what you would call incremental steps, like going upstairs. And sometimes there are gaps of months between what he says and what he next says within the same prophecy. So that each total prophecy took him a year or more to give. Well, I'll tell you what we do know. We know that he started what we're going to read here on April the 28th, 507 BC. That was 6 weeks ago to today's date. And because he spoke in incremental steps, who knows, this is a bit of conjecture, but who knows if what we are reading there is what he said on June the 8th in that year. But what he did say in chapter 47, which we will turn to, which we are reading now, are words that were fulfilled at Pentecost. Thank you, Ezekiel. We could not read them on a better day than today. Amen. Now, just fill you in a bit more. To be exact, however, his River of God prophecy that we will read has another expression that is yet to be other than at Pentecost and our experience of today. There is a time Jesus in the age of his millennial reign will rule the earth from his throne in Jerusalem, and his blessings to mankind will be as a river flowing from his throne that will grow deeper and deeper and wider to the flow of the whole nations of the world from Jerusalem. And there will be no bad news on the telly. Also, at that time of his millennial reign, a river will burst forth that is currently deep within, underneath the Jerusalem Temple Mount, and it will flow ever widening, ever deeper down to the Dead Sea, and where it will stimulate the Dead Sea into abundant life, and the produce on the side of the river as it flows will be so luxuriant it will feed the world. That's what Ezekiel saw, flowing from the throne of God to the nations of the world, and flowing from the throne of God today at Pentecost into you. The luxuriant life of God. Oh, hallelujah. Now, Joel may have lived before Ezekiel, but on the other hand, it's possible that they lived at the same time and they were compatriots. We're not quite sure. Either Ezekiel used Joel phrases or Joel used Ezekiel phrases concerning the river of God being poured out. One uses Joel, a pouring out. Ezekiel uses a flowing out from the throne of God. And my Pentecost good news for you this morning is that the river of God, the life of the Holy Spirit, is flowing out for you and over you and to you and in you this morning. Amen. For those who are open and willing to receive. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus used the river of God picture when talking to the woman at the well. And he said, the water that I can give you is a water that wells up from within and flows out of you towards others. Ezekiel 47, my strength flows from God. You'll notice there's a key phrase. See if you can spot it. See if you can discover it. It repeats itself half a dozen times. Verse 1, the man he refers to is previously introduced in the prophecy in about chapter 40, and the man was glowing like golden bronze, burnished golden bronze. He was not an earthly figure. It was likely to be the Lord Jesus himself who he was talking to. This man brought me to the temple entrance. And I saw water coming from under the threshold of the temple, or another version, from the innermost court where God dwelt. A river was flowing. And the water was coming down under the south side of the temple. He then brought me through the north gate. And here is the phrase that I referred to that keeps on repeating itself. And he led me. And he led me. He led me outside to the outer gate, And as the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, and the measuring line was a linen cord that he used, he measured off 500 yards and led me into water that was ankle deep. He led me into water that was ankle deep. Dear ones, this morning, have you arrived at the place where you have reached out your hand and you have said, "Dear Lord, please lead me into the life of the Holy Spirit, into the river of the life of God." Like the river that first flowed out from the Garden of Eden, for Ezekiel was comparing the water that flowed from Eden to the water of life from the throne room of God that flows to us. Let me into you a secret. It's not a real secret, I suppose. I was up at dawn this morning and I was walking in the garden and it was beautiful. And I heard myself saying, "Oh, Adam, what did you throw away when you ceased walking in the garden with God?" God is leading us back to walking with him this morning, people. You see, the Holy Spirit is often or always pictured in actions of movement. He's spoken, for instance, as a fire that cleanses. He's spoken of as an oil that anoints and heals. And he's spoken of as the water, which is the life of God welling up within us as he dwells within. And here the Holy Spirit is flowing from the throne room of God, and it's flowing. It's not stagnant or stationary. It's flowing over his ankles. I mean, tell me this. Have you ever been paddling? Quite nice. You take off your shoes and your socks and you stand in 4 or 5 inches of water. And it's so beautiful and it's so refreshing. It comforts, it cleans, it covers. And Ezekiel put out his hand to be led into this water, this river of God. Are you willing to be led to the river whereby you are not walking after the flesh, but after or in the Spirit of God? Eh? Because that person is like a tree that's planted by rivers of living water, which yields fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither. Permanent freshness, no withering of the life away at all. Because you see, God does not look at the biceps of a man or the figure of a woman. He looks at where you place your feet. Oh, he does. How beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news of God. Moses was out walking and he saw a burning bush, and the presence of the glory of God was in it. And God said, "Take off your shoes." He wanted to see his feet. Joshua he viewed the battle that was before him. And he saw a man clothed in the glory of God stood before him. And Joshua said, "Whose side are you on?" And the man said, "Listen, it's not whose side I'm on, it's whose side are you on? I represent the Lord of hosts. And with my strength you can win the battle. Moses, take your shoes off. Joshua, take your shoes off." He said it to them both. The shoes speak of what you're already in, what you're already doing. Get rid of what you're already in and get in the water of God. I want you to bring down Pharaoh. I want you to take 2 million out of slavery. I want you to give the law to my people. I want you to win the battle of Jericho. You can tell a person by their feet, where they put them. I wish my grandson Aaron was here this morning. I'll tell a little story about it. In fact, I will. 1 year, I dressed up as Father Christmas. Oh, I had all the regalia on. And I went into a room full of Sunday school teachers, Sunday school children. And he said to his mum, "That's Grampy, I can tell by his feet." People, keep your feet in the river of God. It flows from the throne room of God. If you hold God's hand, he will lead you and keep your feet in the river. Verse 4, he measured off another 500 yards and he led me into water that was knee deep. An inevitable result of dwelling in God's presence is that the river gets deeper. It is not an exam to pass, but a deepening to be experienced. See, legs are wonderful things. And they bend in the middle. If you allow the dew of heaven to dwell upon you and to descend upon you, your knees will bend in God's presence. Let me explain. It was God the Holy Spirit who drew you to the Father and the Son. And at the point of your salvation, Christ entered your life in the person of the Holy Spirit. It is he who is residing within you right now. There can be no other way if you're a born-again person. But from then on, you need to step into he who is the river sent from the Father and the Son and experience the being filled on a daily basis by him. One entrance, many fillings, deeper and deeper. Let me give you an example, and it's not self-attracting, it's God-honoring. For 5 years in a certain church, I did the right things, I said the right things. I went round the carousel, I did everything that was expected. But there was no growth. It was just a happy bunch. And then I read one day, my house should be called the house of prayer for all nations. I tell you this to the glory of God, people. For 20 years from then on, 20 years, I wrote every Saturday evening out of my life. I would leave the meal table. I would go to my office. And I would lay before God from 8 o'clock to 11 o'clock. I did not pray about things, but I would bend my legs in the river, often unspoken, just as the grass receives the dew in the morning, to freshen and strengthen it for the day that lies ahead. I would lay in God's presence. And if I feel tearful, I'm not ashamed of it this morning, people. I'm telling you of dealings with God. Because from there, a few group of people, it was not a dramatic immediate thing, but a few group of people over the next 20 years, grew into 550, with four churches and opportunities given all over the place, abroad as well. Influence happened. A hole was punched in the heavens. The powers of principalities were spread apart, and God's blessing poured down. God was on the move. There's no time, and no time to say more than that amongst many other things I could say this morning. But I would say one thing. Amongst all that, God gave me two fine men. I was reading in Exodus about Bezalel and Oholiab, who were workers in fine arts. I said, oh God, I need a Bezalel and an Oholiab. There were other good men there. But, do you know? I wish he was here, really. God gave me Tim French. And Tim, when he led, there was something that happened. I can't condense it all together in this short time. There was something that happened, and the blessing of God came down every time Tim touched the keyboard. Forgive me for reminiscing, people, but I'm telling you of dealings with God this morning. We are told to pray in the Holy Ghost, not for the Holy Ghost. Okay? For this reason, I bend my knees before the Father, because it's unto him, as Ray prayed so well, unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. I did not pray for any of those things. I led before God in the Spirit of God before all things. And he did his work amongst us. At conversion, you were sealed for God by the Holy Ghost. But if you bend your knee in the river, you will be filled more and more by the Holy Ghost. Because this is where the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit are found. Number 3, verse 4. Waters up to the loins. He measured off another 500 yards and led me into water that was up to the loins. Your version may say up to the waist, but that is far too polite. Let me give you a clue. Abraham said to Eliezer, put your hand under my thigh and I will make an oath with you. Under his thigh was a euphemism for a very personal part. When I laid my father in the grave, I stood there and I thanked God for the man from whose loins I came. When I laid my mother in the grave, I thanked God aloud for the woman from whose womb I came. Water up to the loins means water up to the life-producing organs. It's figurative speech, it is true. But unless, people, you are up to your loins in the Holy Spirit water that flows from the throne of God, you will not produce Holy Spirit fruit. You can educate. You can indoctrinate, you can philosophate, but you will not saturate. Unless you are a conduit of the river of God, you will produce flesh, not fruit. You soak in the Spirit of God from the river of his temple, but in the flesh you strive. Waters to swim in. Verse 5. He measured off another 500 yards, but now it was a river that I could not cross the water because the waters had risen and were deep enough to swim in. His feet were off the bottom. This was all of God. He was flowing in the river of God there. And I have to say this again. The the most in-depth river of God worship song I have ever known. It's never sung nowadays, but it was written by my son-in-law, Tim French. I call you now into my presence. And every time we sang that, I was reduced to tears to feel God calling me into his presence. You see, with the baptism in the Holy Ghost come such experiences as an overflowing fullness of the Spirit of God. A deepened reverence for God. Nothing superficial. It's a river of holiness in which you swim with delight, that which catches your breath and fills and thrills your soul, the current of which causes you to flow away from worldliness into godliness. Oh, and people, when you swim in this river, there is nothing else that will ever satisfy you, and you will hunger for the deep things of God. We now need to turn, because it's the same context, to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, people. Our Saviour taught us that the daily filling, the growing deeper all the way, was the promise of the Holy Spirit, and the promise had been given to him before he came to earth by his Father. And he said that he commanded the disciples not to leave where they were, but to wait for the promise that the Father had given him, of which you have heard about from me. For John indeed immersed you in water, that is water baptism, but you will be immersed in the Holy Spirit not many days from now, according to the promise of my Father. You see, immersion, water baptism, is your signature to the deed of salvation. Immersion, baptism in the Holy Spirit, is God's signature to the deed of salvation. Both signatures are on the deed. And the promise of his Father to us was, I will pour water on those that are thirsty, and I will pour floods upon the dry ground. That was the promise of the Father. And once Jesus had paid the full price of our redemption and returned to the throne room of heaven, he requested of his Father that now was the time for him to send the Holy Spirit to earth to all those that were redeemed. And Peter explained that this experience of the promise was not for the day of Pentecost alone, but henceforth for all who believe. Yes. And Paul says, 2 Corinthians, the Father's desire is to establish you in Christ and to anoint you with his Spirit, or to seal you, sanctify you for himself. And the seal of the Holy Spirit is upon your body, your soul, and your spirit. And when this happens, I believe this anointing can be seen upon your countenance. I believe it can be observed in your acts. It can be heard in your voice. It can be felt by others in your presence. God is with you. Oh. You see, the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit come through being immersed in the river of the Spirit that flows from the throne room of God. You cannot be endued with power from any other source. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in heart and one place. You see, at the Last Supper of Jesus before his cross, they sang together Psalm 118. This is the day the Lord has made. It's called the Psalm of Affliction. Now here they were, waiting for what they were not sure, but it's for what Jesus said the Father would give to them. And they were no longer singing the psalm of affliction, but the psalm of affection. It is called the Psalm of Accords. They were all together in one accord, is referring to Psalm 133. The psalm of one accord, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And they were all together, all in one place, all of one heart, all singing, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house. It filled, another translation, the temple of God, from where, of course, the river flowed in Ezekiel. Now, there was a sound to hear, there was a sight to see, and there was the Spirit of God to experience. The sound to hear was the ruach. It's a Hebrew word. The ruach, the breath of God. Entering the room and entering into them. Jesus had once previously, as an advanced introduction, breathed ruach upon the disciples. He breathed the breath of God upon them. There was the sound of it. And there was a sight to see. There were tongues as of fire. I would like to read it as tongues of fire, but it does say tongues as of fire. But you know, this was a baptism of blessing as believers were indwelt and empowered by Jesus, by the Spirit of God. The church of Jesus was breathed into life and lit into life at this time. And whatever the precise manifestation of tongues of fire, doubtless it describes the Holy Spirit baptism upon them that transformed their speech into a fire of bold, burning, bright, enthusiastic preaching. How can we be dull and sullen about the things of God? There was a sound to hear, a sight to hear, and the Spirit of God to experience. It was a miracle. God entered them. From then on, the Holy Spirit from the throne room of God and of his Christ took residence within his disciples. Oh God, that's our experience today. Oh, thou who camest from above, the pure celestial fire to impart, kindle a flame of sacred love upon the altar of my heart. There let it for thy glory burn with inextinguishable blaze. Still let me guard the holy fire. Fill up that gift in me. I like to sing it. You see, on the day of Pentecost, the believers were not only indwelt by the Spirit of God, but they were filled by the Holy Spirit. We are indwelt by God the moment we are saved. It can be no other, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free. At salvation, we all drink of the same Spirit. But to be filled by God's Spirit comes by dwelling in His presence. Fuller, deeper, like the river from the throne room of God. There is no shortcut. There's no mathematical formula. It's a dwelling in God. It's the dew of heaven descending upon you. If the filling of the Spirit was an automatic Sunday lever that you could pull, then there would be no need to be exhorted to be being filled with the Spirit of God. And I'll tell you this, when the filling is low, carnality is high. And I encourage you to be one who soaks themselves in the presence of God. Because I'll tell you what, when that happens, good things happen. When you swim in the river of God, good things take place. Yokes are destroyed. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Isaiah. Fear is a yoke. You can fear the past, so it becomes the future. You can fear the future, so it becomes the present. Bitterness is a yoke. It shrivels you up. It shows on your face and it's heard in your speech. Oh, I could tell stories forevermore. When I was in industry, I was for a long time. I started life as a toolmaker. I won't tell you his name other than it was Wally somebody. I've never met such a bitter man in my life. I never have. I don't know what it was. He was shriveled up inside. I passed him on the stairs once. Well, when you're on the stairs, you sort of pass. You do rub shoulders sometimes as you turn in the corner. Get out of my way! What have I done? An unclean mind is a yoke. It perverts every thought, and it, given opportunity, it twists every conversation. Yokes are destroyed. But I told you, there's good things that happen, and those are good things as they're broken and destroyed. The good things happen is that as you swim in the river of God, it brings authority. Thus saith the Lord. The devil laughed at the seven sons of Sceva because they had words without anointing. But they had no anointing of God upon them. Paul said, I came to you in my body in weakness and in trembling. I ain't got nothing except this. I was anointed in the authority of the Holy Ghost that brought you freedom. And when we are in the river of God, we do not imprison people. We impart God to people. Oh, please let it be, I pray. Good things happen in the river of God as you swim in it. It not only frees, but it attracts. I was sat here in the prayer time last night, and the group here were good enough to pray for me. And just before that, it was like a flash of light. I just added it into my notes this morning. Came to me. In Exodus, the priest of old had to be anointed with oil and with the incense of fragrance. There were two separate things, but the copyright belonged to God. He compounded them. And they were not to be used irresponsibly. They were to be used for those called and anointed of God. Special compounds. And that is a type of the Holy Spirit, who is the anointing of God and the fragrance of God. And the good thing that happens is that there's a fragrance about your life, people, when you flow in the Spirit of God. And when the anointing flows, people catch it. Oh God. How we need your anointing. Where are those that bathe in your presence? Some are into legalism, which is a doctrinal lifelessness. Some are into license, which is as near to the cliff edge of the world as you can get, but still, so say, living the Christian life. May it be this morning that we are those that are in the liberty of God. Not legalism, not license, but the liberty of God. Walking in it, flowing in it, swimming in it. Spirit of God flowing through you from the throne room of heaven. And when you swim in this river, people, nothing else will satisfy you. You will hunger for the deep things of God like never before. Unto him who is able, ankles, to do abundantly to the knees. Above all, We ask or think. Swimming in God. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. My rest is complete as I sit at thy feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweep Spirit, sweep over my soul. My rest is complete as I sit at thy feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. May we be a church that swims in the river of God. God bless you all. Amen.